All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Heal Thyself. We got a great week for you. We got a great week of shows. And today is going to be a fantastic one. A lot of you out there listening, you may not know it, or a lot of you know someone who is addicted to porn. And we don't talk enough about it. We don't talk about what is the root cause of it. There's so many modalities and so many treatments and so many approaches, but we don't talk about the root cause. So I'm going to go over it, but I'm going to give you some astounding statistics on porn addiction. It's going to be very important because you'll be shocked how many of us watch porn, how many of us are being affected by porn, and how many of us are addicted. Very, very important. And coming out Thursday, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Samuel T. Wilkinson from Yale, and he'll be talking about some really, really important stuff. A lot of you are asking about purpose. A lot of you asking on my DMs, Dr. G, how do I find my purpose? How do I go about my life and feeling fulfilled? Dr. Wilkinson's going to give us the lowdown on it. He's actually written a new book looking at evolution and the human cause behind purpose. How have we evolved in purpose? And what does purpose mean in the context of evolution? So we understand our lineage better, but more importantly, where we're going. It's going to be a really good one. I want you to sit back, relax. You know, thank you for joining. Thank you for viewing. Thank you for rating and subscribing. All that stuff that has grown the show over time. All the shares, all of the love, all the openness, the receiving. Thank you. Now let's put on a good show. You know, it's widely recognized that the use of pornography is common, with internet pornography being especially accessible. When we look at the data on the usage, it varies. But a significant percentage of the population, especially among men, reports viewing pornography, as you wouldn't be surprised by. But there are not really any large peer-reviewed studies. You know, you look all over the internet, you don't necessarily find anything when it comes to porn addiction. There's some on usage, some theories on addiction, but there have been surveys that have been given, and they give us a good idea about how many people are addicted. Some of us are suggesting overall, just overall usage, 70 to 80% of men and 30 to 40% of women in certain age groups have reported viewing pornography in the last month. But when it comes to how much of that is unhealthy or addictive, it's really hard to pinpoint. Why? Because, and when it comes to defining addiction, there's actually an ongoing debate among many of the experts in this space on how to really diagnose, how to define porn addiction. And many people argue that it should be viewed within the framework of compulsive sexual behavior, meaning hypersexuality or sexual addiction. It's an intense focus on sexual fantasies or urges or behaviors that can't be controlled, right? It's overwhelming you. It's causing distress in the home and in health and in your job, multiple problems. It's taken over your life, right? And sort of we want to get a direction on how to define porn addiction. And there hasn't been really anything written out. Also, the problems we see in the research is causality versus correlation, meaning it's kind of hard to distinguish between causality and correlation in the effects of pornography. It's complex. I'll give you an example. It can be challenging if you want to determine whether compulsive pornography use leads to relationship problems, or was there already relationship problems that led to increased pornography use, right? And we're going to go into relationship shortly, but some studies and surveys have reported a wide range of estimates, with some suggesting that around 5 to 8% of adults may be struggling with pornography use to the extent that it's going to impact their life. It's impacting these people's relationships. It's impacting their responsibility. They're sort of moving into that place of pornography addiction. Younger age groups, particularly those who grew up with the internet around pornography, they tend to report higher rates of consumption, as you'd probably think about. However, compulsive pornography, though, can affect individuals across all ages. What about gender? While men are more frequently reported as users of pornography, women also consume the material. We know that. The percentage of women who report problematic use is going to be lower than men, generally speaking, but it's also a growing area that they're looking in the research and they're concerned about, and they're studying it more to have a better understanding. Like, this is a take-home. Like, we have to remember, this is a growing field of research. We don't necessarily know how addictive porn can be, fully what it does to the brain, how many people are addicted to porn, but it's really, really important. Because it's essentially, you've heard so many of those numbers, part of our lives, right? So there's impacts and concerns. It's going to affect relationships on some level, especially as you go towards the pornography addiction realm. high consumption or compulsive use of pornography, that's been linked in multiple studies for relationship problems, including decreased relationship satisfaction and increased separation and even divorce. We're starting to see that trend already. In mental health, there's ongoing research that's happening in the relationship between pornography use and just overall mental health. Some studies actually out there are suggesting that there's an increased rate of depression, anxiety, and lower sexual satisfaction, especially with your partner. But we're also seeing sexual dysfunction. I just did a show on erectile dysfunction, right? There's a growing body of research that right now is looking and exploring the association between frequent pornography use and sexual dysfunction, particularly among young men, such as erectile dysfunction or decreased sexual desire. Those have been reported. Now imagine how much that can cause strains in the relationship. So, big thing, what are we going to be looking for? What are the signs and symptoms of porn addiction? Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. According to the EPA, indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air. I bet you didn't know that. And in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally. I bet you didn't know that too. Living in a city exposes me to a range of pollutants, including vehicle emissions, industrial pollutants, construction dust, and residential heating emissions. The struggle to breathe clean air becomes a daily battle, impacting not only our health, but our quality of life. Thankfully, Air Doctor has been a game changer. I've had it for many years. I mean, like, we're talking about like 4 years. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Air Doctors in my old space, and I love them. It'll take away any musty scent. It'll clean out the air, and the air is just so much better. I love the Air Doctor. It's my favorite thing. Filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, even bacteria and viruses, so your lungs don't have to. All Air Doctor purifiers also feature a whisper jet fan, 30% quieter than ordinary air purifiers. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you do not love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. If you're looking for the cleanest air in the game, if you want to airify your house into getting some clean, crisp air, protecting your family, your newborn, right? Go to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code DRG. And depending on the model, you'll receive up to $300 off. That is exclusive for podcast customers. You'll also receive, exclusive for you, the Heal Thyself listener, you're going to receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code DRG. All right, let's talk about a game changer in the world of health and fitness. This is a game changer. It's brand new. It's out. Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. We talk a lot about metabolism on these shows. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or you're burning carbs. And it gives you a tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workout, sleep, and even stress management. Let me tell you how it works. You simply breathe into the Lumen device first thing in the morning. You get a real-time feedback on whether or not you're burning fat or you're burning carbs. It's like having a personal nutritionist right at your pocket. Lumen will then provide you with a personalized nutrition plan for the day based on your metabolic measurements, right? You have your own personalized coach. But why does metabolic health matter? Well, think about your metabolism as your body's engine. It's what turns food into energy and keeps you going throughout the day. And when your metabolism is optimized, you're experiencing the benefits of easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, and even better sleep. That's where Lumen comes in. It helps you improve your metabolic health and every breath you take, offering recommendations to enhance your pre- and post-workout fueling for peak performance and recovery. So, if you want to take the next steps and improve your health, go to lumen.me and use DRG to get $100 off of your Lumen device. That is lumen.me, and use the code DRG at checkout for $100 off to get your own evidence-based metabolic nutritional coach. The first step is recognizing when someone has started to transition from that casual consumption, right? Casual or moderate consumption, into something that is more compulsory. That's going to require intervention at some point. Enjoying pornography doesn't necessarily mean that someone's addicted. It's a big difference. It's when they're moving into that compulsory stage. The distinction often lies for us in how it's impacting our life, right? The inability to control the usage, knowing that there's even negative consequences, but we still can't control it. The key signs and symptoms that we're looking for is excessive time spent watching porn, really spending an inordinate amount of time. You're searching, you're viewing, you're engaging in activities related to pornography. And often that's at the expense of other activities and responsibilities that we need to show up for. there's inability to control or stop usage, right? Repeated unsuccessful attempts. You just keep trying over and over and can't stop despite knowing that it's negatively impacting your life. That's in the field of addiction. Escalation or needing more. You need increasing amounts of pornography or more extreme content to achieve sort of that same level of satisfaction arousal that you might have had 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. That's creating desensitization in the body to pornography, another sign of addiction. Interference with daily life, as with any addiction, not just pornography, but anything that is starting to interfere with your work, or if you're in school or relationships, a lot of you viewing or listening might have experienced this already. Social engagements, you don't want to go home, you just want to watch porn. This might be including any responsibilities you're withdrawing from the activities you once enjoyed, and now you're just neglecting yourself away from it. Continued use despite knowing the negative consequences, persisting over and over, knowing that it's affecting your relationship, it's affecting your life. There's decreased sexual satisfaction. You have feelings of decreased sexual satisfaction or guilt or shame. And this is a big one that I want people to start looking about. Is it a primary coping mechanism? A lot of people out there rely on pornography as a primary method for dealing with stress in the moment, or anxiety in the moment, or even feelings of depression in the moment. Any emotional distress, when you're angry, do you turn to porn? Or when you're sad and grieving, do you turn to porn? Or feeling shameful, as I said before, guilty, as I said before, right? These are emotions that we have to really look at, and I'm going to talk about later. Rather than engaging in healthier coping mechanisms, we're just completely going back into this coping mechanism that is affecting us, affecting our lives for the negative. If there's secrecy and isolation, engaging in secretive behaviors regarding pornography use, right? Lying to your partner or people about the extent of the use, isolating yourself from others in order to engage without interruption, right? When you're starting to isolate yourself with your addictive agent, that's a problem. Withdrawal symptoms, then you know you're in it. Experiencing actually psychological withdrawal symptoms. When you want to cut back from pornography use, you're all of a sudden getting irritable, anxious, restless. You're craving more pornography. Oh, you're in it, right? It's impacting the relationship. This might be the biggest one for the viewers and listeners out there. How many of you think about it? How many of you have been in a relationship where your partner has been addicted to pornography? And now you're bringing up, hey, we're not intimate as we were before. I'm sexually dissatisfied. You have erectile dysfunction. You've commented on the overuse. You guys fought on the overuse. Or maybe you caught the person consuming porn in secrecy. All signs and symptoms, right? So we want to look at the big picture. I think the impact on relationships is probably one of the biggest ones. Loss of interest in real life sexual activities. As I said, playing part in the romantic constraints that begin to happen. There's a decreased interest in sexual activities with the partner. And this might actually be because there's unrealistic expectations set by consuming so much pornography, or even decreased arousal with non-pornographic stimuli, right? You're used to watching porn so much that you're just not aroused. So big, big, big signs and symptoms. But what are the different medical perspectives? What are we saying in medicine when it comes to porn addiction? Like, why? Why does this happen? Well, there's the brain stuff, right? The neurobiological perspective. How are we looking at the nervous system affecting the way we behave? Well, there's the reward pathways. That's similar to all substance abuse or addictions. We see compulsive pornography use is believed to actually affect the brain's reward system, right? Involving neurotransmitters like dopamine. It's the reward, right? We sort of feel some sort of way, but we know that there's a reward on the other side. So we consume that which we know makes us feel good, at least in the moment. But repeated stimulation of the system by pornography can actually lead to our brain adapting to reinforce that behavior, which obviously is going to make it harder to stop despite us knowing those negative consequences. It's sort of ingrained in our brain over time, especially the more and more we do it. There's something called prefrontal cortex dysfunction. Studies are suggesting that compulsive use of pornography might actually be linked to altered functioning in the prefrontal cortex. This is the part of our brain that is involved in decision-making or impulse control or even just self-regulating, which can affect our emotional regulation, right? How we are moving through emotions, or if we're just relying on something to self-soothe like pornography. Also within the brain, we see something called conditioning and desensitization. Repeated exposure to pornography can actually lead to conditioning, where all of a sudden specific cues to become associated with the use of pornography, right? We know that when we see this thing, or it's this time of day, or hear this sound, or hear this song, or finish breakfast, or finish lunch or dinner, it begins to trigger these cravings or urges. That's often true. And a lot of people viewing, listening might go like, whoa, oh my God, that's me. Over time, individuals become desensitized, and we're actually going to require intense or varied material to receive that same level of satisfaction. We know this before. You sort of need to watch more intense pornography in order to become aroused. That's how you know you're really in it, right? There's also the psychological and social factors. And this is the big one that I want to talk about, is the coping mechanism. For many of us out there, pornography use may start as a way just to cope with stress. And you might have learned this years ago, maybe when you were a kid, maybe you grew up in a home where it wasn't safe. And the way that you took out your stress was not reading or overeating or doing your homework or athletics or working out. Maybe it was just masturbation, right? Or porn consumption, a way to cope with stress. And it's really important. Or loneliness, or feelings of anxiety, depression, or even deeper repressed emotions. So we really have to think about the coping mechanism piece, because I want to go into that actually when we talk about solutions. But this can develop into maladaptive coping. And this is exacerbating the original issues. And this is a really significant thing that we need to look about when it comes to any addiction. Also, the relationship dynamics. Research is exploring right now on pornography, how it's affecting relationships deeper and deeper and deeper. And some studies are showing that becoming more secretive or compulsive can lead to trust issues, reduced intimacy, and conflicts. And then again, how cyclic is it? Is it that there's issues in the relationship and then porn and then more issues? Or is there porn and that's causing issues and then more porn because the person is dysregulated and is coping maladaptively with pornography? And because of that, in their addiction state, it's causing a constraint on the relationship. There's less intimacy, less sex. And then we start seeing a downward spiral. And it really impacts significantly among individuals and couples. And many are reporting negative side effects in relationships due to overconsumption of porn. And then there's societal and cultural influences, the role of societal norms and cultural attitudes towards really just sexuality and pornography consumption can play a critical role, right, on how pornography is perceived and experienced by the individual. What is considered problematic or addictive in one culture may be viewed differently in another one. Like, you don't know, right? So it's really our own personal relationships with the content. Is there a religious connotation, right? So all of these pieces we have to think about, it's there's different variables that really affect the way a addiction is expressed in an individual. Not the least of which being the epigenetics, right? We are expressing the parts of us that are sort of predisposed into addiction. Why do some people develop addictions and some people don't, right? So we want to look at, does our family have a history of addiction? And are we expressing that as a really negative coping mechanism that is affecting us? So how do we break the habit? There's some practical steps out there. I want to give you some just really fundamental stuff. And then I'm going to give you my deeper take on the emotional part. Basic steps really in the therapeutic approach start with, as you think, acknowledging the problem. Right? What's the first step in overcoming anything is just acknowledging that something isn't serving you in your life. It has a negative impact. It's affecting your relationship. It's affecting your well-being. Looking at the triggers. The triggers can be, again, all the emotional stuff I mentioned, repressed emotions, being alone, being late at night, feeling bored, feeling stressed. You got to identify what are the things in that moment you go, oh, I feel this way right now, and I have the urge or impulse to, right? And use a journal, use a notebook, write these things out to give you a clear definition of what's happening within your body. And then set clear goals. Decide what is it that you actually want. Do you want to quit porn? Do you want to reduce porn? Being clear, clarity is actually going to be your best friend, because when you're clear, you're able to set clear picture. And then within that context, start beginning to take those steps to achieve and realize what you're setting forth, right? A lot of people are going to need support, whether it's from a loved one, a family, friends, support groups, other individuals. You may need professional help. You may need to talk to a therapist, ones who've dealt with compulsive behaviors or addiction. That can be invaluable, but not doing this alone, working in collaboration and community is going to be very important. Developing new coping strategies. You got to do that. You got to find a healthier way to deal with your stress or your boredom or your repressed emotions or the anxiety you're feeling or depression or those cues throughout the day? What can you do? What is one healthy thing that you can do? Maybe you do 10 push-ups. Maybe you go on a walk. Maybe you paint a picture. Maybe you decide to meditate. Maybe you just still do some breath work. And maybe you might end up doing that 3-4 times a day, but maybe it reduces to one time a day. So you got to figure out what are the things that you can replace. It's not just about taking away, it's about replacing. Creating a plan to deal with these urges is going to be very important, right? You want to take yourself away from the things that are going to tempt you, that are going to distract you, that are going to distance you from your clear picture. Limit yourself from that access. Make it harder. Use website blockers, delete accounts, delete apps, turn off your phone late at night. There's different apps out there that actually lock you out of your phone that work really well. And if you know that you are most vulnerable for this at night or early in the morning or in the afternoon, have your phone lock you out from the internet for 1 or 2 hours and see how that helps. You want to monitor your progress. Keep a journal. That's going to be your best friend. Keep a whiteboard monitor, because then you could look, you could connect. What are the setbacks? You can say, okay, I did 10 days. Let me celebrate. I did 40 days. Let me celebrate, right? Giving yourself those dopamine hits of like, I'm really doing it, but you need to visualize it. And having compassion and patience, ain't nobody going to be perfect. But as long as you're moving forward, that's really, really, really important. Being honest and integrity, very important. Be open to people about where you stand. Be open to your partner about where you stand, what you're struggling with. If your partner loves you, he or she will be able to hold you through these things. They'll be able to hold you and say, okay, I love you. I'm here with you. I know that you have this impulse every time you are X, Y, or Z. I'm so happy that you're doing something about it. You're identifying it. And let's do this together, right? We're a team. That's beautiful, right? And addressing those underlying issues is probably the most important one. You really want to see what is going on. Now, I'm of the belief that you can't talk your way out of addiction. There's no circled support groups that is going to help you talk your way out of addiction. They're going to give you programs. And if you stick to it, you'll do good. If you don't stick to it, I can't say you're not going to be in a good place, right? Like, but let's think about this. I think more important than talking about why you think you're addicted to porn or going over the same dramas of your life and how it's affecting your relationship, all that is noise. It's noise, because if you're self-soothing or compensating with an addictive expression in the form of porn or anything else, this goes for all addiction, then it's most important to really look at what's happening in your body. What is causing you the dysregulation so fast that you need to self-soothe? And instead, what would happen if you didn't self-soothe, right? Because porn isn't necessarily the good or the bad. It's not the problem. It's your own relationship with self that is causing you to think you're a bad person, as it's expressing through pornography that you're judging yourself. So the truth of the matter is, it's not porn that needs to be judged. It's your own perspective about self. You're the one who's looking at yourself that you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're so much in pain that you can't look at how much pain is inside of you because it's so scary. And that's illusion, I promise you people. So really, really important. If you're living with sexual shame, if you're living with deep, 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 profound anger, if you're living with grief and you haven't cried in many years, if you're living with guilt because you didn't show up for a loved one and they died or something, of course you're not going to be able to face that. And of course your body's going to want to compensate. And of course it's going to come out in the form of something. For some people, it'll come out in the form of anxiety, anxious attachment, avoidant attachment. For some, it'll come out as OCD-like behavior, ADHD. But for many people, in the context of the show, it's going to come out as addiction. And maybe it's going to be expressed in this addiction of porn. So really important for me, when if someone said, hey, I have porn addiction, I'm not even going to say that's the problem. That is a downstream manifestation of a deeper problem that is causing a outward superficial negative effect on your life. Yes. But what's happening under the roots? What's happening deeper than the roots? What's happening at the base level, at the biggest root? And oftentimes what's happening at the biggest, deepest root, there's a darkness inside you that needs to be brought to light. And when that darkness inside of you is brought to light, you get to see what pain you're living with. And you get to see it come to the surface. And you get to see it as part of you, and you get to forgive it and love it. And then watch how addiction happens in your life. And then watch how much better your pornographic addiction becomes. because it's offering you deep relief into something that is really driving that dysfunction, that dysregulation, that compensation that we call porn addiction. So let's look deeper at it, people. All right. I really hope that helped. If you have a loved one who suffers with any addiction, doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be porn. Any addiction. This is the show. Send them this show. If you do, write down the notes. Follow it. Reach out. Dr. G is here to support. I love you all.